Today is the 12th day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today. It's always, it's always nice to walk in here around the global campfire and just feel the warmth from around the world as we continue our grand voyage, the big journey, sailing across a year and moving through the entire Bible. So glad to be here. Let's jump in. We're in the book of 1 Kings, and we are moving through this period where everything has culminated and come down to this, and this is the finest hour in ancient Israel's existence under Solomon's reign. So these are really glory days. They're like the dedication of the temple of God, the first temple ever made. Can you imagine what national identity that brought to the people? And as Solomon is just bringing them into peace and prosperity on all sides, let's continue the journey. 1 Kings chapters 9 and 10 today. Later, after Solomon had finished building the Lord's temple, the royal palace, and everything else that Solomon wanted to do, the Lord appeared to Solomon for a second time, just as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord told him, "I've heard your prayer and your request that you made to me. I have consecrated this temple that you have built by placing my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there continuously. Now as for you, if you commune with me like your father did, with an upright heart of integrity, and doing everything that I've commanded you, and keeping my statutes and ordinances, then I'll make your royal throne secure forever, just as I agreed to do so for your father David when I said, 'You are to not lack a man on the throne of Israel.' But if you or your descendants abandon me and do not keep my commandments and statutes that I have given to you, and if you go away, serve other gods and worship them, then I will eliminate Israel from the land that I gave them and from the temple that I've consecrated for my name. I will throw them out of my sight, and Israel will become the butt of jokes and a means of ridicule among people worldwide. This temple will become a pile of ruins. Everyone who passes by it will be so astounded that they will ask, 'Why did the Lord do this to this land and to this temple?' And they will answer, 'Because they abandoned the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of the land of Egypt, and they adopted other gods and served them. That's why the Lord has brought all of this disaster on them.'" It took 20 years for Solomon to finish working on the two houses, the Lord's temple and the royal palace. After which King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee, because King Hiram of Tyre had provided Solomon with as much cedar, cypress timber, and gold as he wanted. Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given him, but he wasn't happy with them. So he asked him, "What are these cities that you have given to me, my brother?" That's why these cities were named the Land of Kabal to this day. Then Hiram paid the king 100 talents of gold. Here is a summary of the conscripted labor that King Solomon required to build the Lord's temple, his royal palace, the terrace ramparts in the city of David, the wall of Jerusalem, Hazor, Megiddo, and Gezer. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had attacked and captured Gezer, burned it down, killed the Canaanites who lived in the city, and then gave it as a dowry for his daughter, Solomon's wife. So Solomon rebuilt Gezer, Lower Beth Haran, Baalat, and Tamar in the wilderness, along with the storage cities that Solomon used for his chariots and for his cavalry. Everything that Solomon felt like building in Jerusalem, in Lebanon, and in every territory under his control. The people who survived from the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, who were not related to the Israelis, and whose descendants had survived them and continued to live in the land because the Israelis were unable to completely eliminate them, Solomon placed under conscripted labor, a situation that remains in effect to this day. However, Solomon did not force Israelis into conscripted labor, but they did serve as his soldiers, servants, princes, captains, chariot commanders, and cavalry. There were 550 chief officers who supervised Solomon's activities and managed the staff that was doing the work. As soon as Pharaoh's daughter arrived from the city of David to live in her house that Solomon had built for her, then he fortified the terrace ramparts in the city of David. Three times every year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings on the altar that he had built to the Lord, burning incense with the offerings in the presence of the Lord. This concludes the record of the temple construction. King Solomon also built a fleet of ships at Ezion-Geber, which is near Eilat, on the shore of the Reed Sea in the land of Edom. Hiram sent his servants to sail with the fleet, since they were expert seamen, and so they accompanied Solomon's servants. They sailed as far as Ophir and brought back 420 talents of gold for Solomon. When the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon's reputation with the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. She brought along a large retinue, camels laden with spices, and lots of gold and precious stones. Upon her arrival, she spoke with Solomon about everything that was on her mind. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was hidden from Solomon that he did not explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom for herself, the palace that he had built, the food set at his table, his servants who sat with him, his ministers in attendance, and how they were dressed, his personal staff and how they were dressed, and even his personal stairway by which he went up to the Lord's temple, she was breathless. "Everything I heard about your wisdom and what you have to say is true," she gasped. "But I didn't believe it at first. But then I came here and I've seen it for myself. It's amazing. I wasn't told half of what's really great about your wisdom. You're far better in person than what the reports have said about you. How blessed are your staff, and how blessed are your employees who serve you continuously and get to listen to your wisdom. And blessed be the Lord your God, who is delighted with you. He set you in place on the throne of Israel because the Lord loved Israel forever. That's why he made you to be king, so you could carry out justice and implement righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, a vast quantity of spices and precious stones. No spices ever came again that were comparable to those that the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Hiram's ships that brought gold from Ophir also brought from Ophir lots of algum wood and precious stones. The king used the algum wood to have supports made for the Lord's temple and for the royal palace, as well as lyres and harps for the choir. And nothing like that wood has ever come again or ever been seen since right to this day. In return, King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba everything she wanted and had requested, in addition to what he had given her, consistent with his generosity. Afterwards, she returned to her own land with her servants. Solomon's annual revenue was 666 talents of gold, not including revenue from traders, merchants, and from all the kings of Arabia and the governors of the land. King Solomon made 200 large shields of beaten gold, overlaying each large shield with the gold from 600 gold pieces, and 300 shields from beaten gold, overlaying each shield with the gold from 300 gold pieces. The king put them in his palace in the Lebanon forest. The king also made a great ivory throne and overlaid it with pure gold. Six steps led up to the throne. which had a round canopy fastened to the rear of the throne, and armrests on each side of the seat, and two lions standing on either side of each armrest. 12 lions were placed on both sides of the 6 steps leading to the throne, and nothing comparable was made for any other kingdoms. All of King Solomon's drinking vessels were made of gold, and all the vessels in his palace in the Lebanon forest were made of pure gold. None were of silver, because silver was never considered to be valuable during Solomon's lifetime, because the king had ships that sailed to Tarshish, accompanied by Hiram's ships. Once every 3 years, ships from Tarshish returned, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. As a result, King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in regards to wealth and wisdom. All the earth continued to seek audiences with Solomon so they could hear the wise things that God had put in his heart. Everyone kept on bringing gifts on an annual basis, including items made of silver and gold, garments, myrrh, spices, horses, and mules. Solomon accumulated chariots and cavalry. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 cavalry soldiers. He stationed them in various chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common as stones in Jerusalem, and made cedar trees as abundant as sycamore trees in the Shephelah. Solomon imported horses from Egypt and Kew, and the king's buyers procured them at market price from Kew. A chariot from Egypt cost 600 pieces of silver, and a horse 150 pieces of silver. But then they were exported to all the Hittite kings and to the Aramean kings. Acts 8, 14 through 40. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaritans had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They went down and prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Before this, he had not come on any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me this power too, so that when I lay my hands on someone, he will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter told him, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's free gift with money. You have no part or share in what we're saying, because your heart isn't right with God. So repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, your heart's intent may be forgiven you. For I see that you're being poisoned by bitterness and you're a prisoner of wickedness." Simon answered, "Both of you pray to the Lord for me that none of the things you have said will happen to me." After they had given their testimony and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem, continuing to proclaim the good news in many Samaritan villages. Now an angel of the Lord told Philip, "Get up and go south on the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a deserted road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was a member of the court of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was in charge of all her treasures and had come up to Jerusalem to worship. Now he was returning home, seated in his chariot and reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, "Approach that chariot and stay near it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah out loud. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to get in and sit with him. This was the passage of scripture he was reading. "Like a sheep, he was led away to be slaughtered. And like a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his descendants? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting from this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, Look, there's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? So he ordered the chariot to stop, and Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing and did not see Philip again. But Philip found himself at Azotus. As he was passing through that region, he kept proclaiming the good news in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Psalm 130, a song of ascents, a prayer for mercy. I cry to you from the depths, Lord. Lord, listen to my voice. Let your ears pay attention to what I ask of you. Lord, if you were to record iniquities, Lord, who could remain standing? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and I will hope in his word. My soul looks to the Lord more than watchmen look for the morning, more indeed than watchmen for the morning. Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is gracious love, along with abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all its sins. Proverbs 17, 2 and 3. A prudent servant will rule in place of a disgraceful son, and will share in the inheritance among brothers. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But the Lord assays hearts. Okay, so we had the dedication of the temple yesterday, and moved forward. Today we have a description of Solomon's intimacy with God, his extraordinary wisdom, his wealth and achievements within his culture. In Solomon's time, Jerusalem truly did become the epicenter of the world. And so we've spent the first half of the year chasing the story of God's promise of a land flowing with milk and honey that would be filled with plenty for all within his presence. And today's reading gave us a taste of the wonder of a promise fulfilled. And so very much, we must enjoy the moment, because this truly today was the apex of our journey so far. The pinnacle of ancient Israel. Picture the grandeur of the most advanced and beautiful civilization that the biblical writers had ever seen. Imagine the fortified cities around Israel and the vast stores of wealth and prosperity. Imagine a fleet of ships that sailed to the farthest reaches of the known world and returned to the shores of the Red Sea to bestow these treasures on the inhabitants of Israel. What's so fascinating is Ezion Geber is where this fleet of ships was, near Eilat. Well, Eilat exists until this day, on the shores of the Red Sea, and modern Israel. Ezion Geber is across the border, because that's where the border of Jordan and Israel meets, there right at the tip of the Dead Sea. Ezion Geber and that port city is in Jordan, with ruins still remaining until today. Imagine battle shields made out of hammered gold, eating utensils and goblets made out of pure gold. Silver is as plentiful as stone. Man, the regular visits from dignitaries and royalty coming from all over the world to spend time in a summit with Solomon to hear the wisdom that God would speak through him. Today brings us to the peak. As we move forward from here, like, we are literally standing at the apex, the top. We have to move down the other side of this mountain. Unfortunately, the children of Israel reached this beautiful moment where everything was fulfilled. But from here, a steady downward slide. And so, let's just mark this. And we made it here. We made it here from the beginning of the year. And then in the book of Acts today, we read about this providential encounter between Philip and an Ethiopian official. So Philip, right, persecution has broken out in Jerusalem. People are spread out all over the place. And the word of God, the good news of the gospel, is being spread all over the place. Philip, one of the apostles of Jesus, is directed to travel on a road from Jerusalem to Gaza. He probably wondered why, but on this ancient road he found an Ethiopian dignitary who needed some help. And so during their encounter, Philip shared the good news about Jesus, which resulted in the Ethiopian going, here's some water, why can't I be baptized right now? And so he was baptized into the family of God. Philip is spirited away. The Ethiopian goes back to Ethiopia. What do you think he does? Right, the gospel is going to Ethiopia now. So God's purposes in our lives can seem counterintuitive. Philip did not know what he was going there for. It's not always immediately apparent where we're going. As much as I don't like that, but this is the reality of trust. This just simply is the reality of trusting and being in a trusting relationship. We may not always know where we're going, but we're going together. We're not going alone, and we trust that we will not abandon each other. We will stay in collaboration, which ends up being one of the greatest joys that life has for we as human beings. Our part is to respond to God's leading with trust and obedience. And often enough, we're delighted and surprised to discover where the journey takes us. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into all that we've read today. And we mark the moment here in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. And we'll watch the complexion change, unfortunately, but we ask that you lead us into all truth, the truth of these stories as it applies to our own behaviors and patterns. Lead us into all truth. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. One's the website, one's the app. Be familiar with both. That's where you find out what's going on around here. And what's going on around here right now is the release of a brand new resource in the Daily Audio Bible Shop for this community. something that we plan to build out. This is the first installment. Something that, well, I mean, we're just talking about being in a trusting relationship and to kind of trust and walk in obedience, even though you don't always know where everything's going to land. This is one of those things. I've talked at length every day, so I don't want to keep repeating the same. Go back to Monday to hear the whole story. But Jill and I really got to talking one day about the reality that communication breakdowns, that is actually ultimately usually what leads to any destructive acting out and behaviors and justifications, and any breakdown in a relationship begins with misunderstanding and miscommunication. But to bring that into the spiritual world of our relationship with God, if we honestly think it through, this is no different. We are wired for relationship. We know when we're in a life-giving relationship. We know when we're not. We know when we're being taken from. We know all kinds of things because we're wired for relationship. We're wired for relationship with each other and with God. So when communication breaks down in our spiritual lives because of mistrust or disobedience, right? Or any number of things that lead us into doubt and give us a feeling of injustice or whatever, our communication breaks down. And that gets tense between us and God, and then we find ourselves acting out in all kinds of ways that are destructive, that are breaking covenant with God and breaking people all around us because of misunderstandings and miscommunications, because we lost our connection, because we lost our connection. But then what about God watching us do what we do, betraying him, breaking his heart? Like, what if he had a question or two to ask to step into a conversation that really needs to happen? What if that were the case? Because it's a relationship, and relationships are mutual, two-way streets, mutual, beneficial for everybody. And so from a very, very mental health perspective, from a very human perspective, did a lot of consulting and considering, like, how do things, like, you know, what are the core emotions that bring negativity and pain? And then from a spiritual direction perspective, considering an honest, authentic way of not denying or suppressing or spiritually bypassing the pain, but acknowledging and embracing the pain, and through the pain, embracing a promise of restoration. We really, really prayed, really thought this through, and created the first installment of our spiritual connection cards, which is a popular thing in the world today to offer friendships and marriages and relationships the ability to remember the story of how you came to be and how to engage in meaningful conversations, even difficult conversations. So it's all over the place, but not like this. And so we released that resource, the spiritual connection cards, questions to ask God to start the conversation, questions that God might be asking you to start the conversation, all rooted in the scriptures, which are all incorporated in there. And so, they have been flying, and so We've even like begun to feel the first wave of people who have gotten there. This will really explode next week when they're landing and we're getting all this feedback. And I love that so much, but already just the energy behind it has been kind of unprecedented. And so it's it brings no sense of pride. It brings this sense of, oh, wow. You know, God can use this obedience and restored relationships with God. That's something to get out of bed in the morning about. So grab yourself a deck of these cards and let us know. And you may be thinking like, yeah, a lot of people in my life fit into these categories. And so as we roll these out, if you plan to do that, if you get five of the packs, the decks of cards, we'll send you a sixth one free. That way you can have one and give the other ones away. And so check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. Thank you humbly. Thank you deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Kyle in Pennsylvania. I'm calling in for, I believe you said your name was Mom of 12, and your husband was just diagnosed with cancer. And I just, as I was listening to your prayers and your thoughts, it reminded me, my daughter was born with Down syndrome and a heart condition, and this Daily Audio Bible family has just been so great in praying for her. And I remember when she was born, she didn't have a very good prognosis for a long life, and her cardiologist said to us, you know, things are changing all the time, and who knows, you know, where things will be as she gets older. And so that just gave us a lot of hope. And I know I can't say what God's plan is for you or your family, but I just hope and pray that you guys will have God's peace during this, and that that God will guide the doctors and just provide answers for your husband and your family that might not seem possible now, because I know that he can do that, and I just pray that he does that for you and your family, and that through it all, you have God's peace and encouragement and presence in your lives.
Don, you called in about your wife, Barbara. This is God's Life Speaker, as she has fallen and she's broken her hips and she's in rehab, and they do give you 40 days to get up and walk. My husband and I traveled this path with his mother that also fell and broke her hip, and they gave her 40 days to get up and walk. And she also had dementia, and just having been put under and what that medicine did to her mind and her inability to trust and not fear in the dementia, that's just the not understanding. She had to get up so that she could walk. I'm going to lift you in prayer. That was hard for us, and I pray that God has a different path for Barbara. Heavenly Father, you see and you know, and you are in the midst of Don and Barbara, and the struggle it is for the spouse that is fully capable watching the spouse that is physically and mentally not. Would you strengthen Barbara? Would you give her the will to stand up and to do the little steps she needs to do? Lord, the dementia, we always pray for that to go away, to be cured, to be miraculously by your hand healed. And that you would just help this couple in the really hard parts here, that you would have your hand on Barbara, heal her mind, heal her body, have her walk and have her talk. And we pray for strength for Don as he comes alongside of her.
Hi, family. It's Heather in Tennessee. I just got back from a quick trip to California, and I was able to visit my mom, who's in a memory care facility in Williams, California. And so that was good. I hadn't seen her in a long time. She, of course, does not remember me, but she's awfully smiley and happy and was very happy to have visitors, and I feel encouraged by that. It's hard to say goodbye, you know, and come back here to Tennessee, but that's how it works, I guess. I was also able to see my aunt, who is in Petaluma, who's in a different kind of facility, and so I just want to ask if you guys could pray for me and my family. And of course I was able to see my sister who lives in Calusa, and it's always nice to go back and see familiar sights, even though it's been years and years. Just if you could pray for me. I don't always know what to do. I pray that the Lord will guide me and that I will do all that he wants me to do, but I don't often know if I'm doing it, I guess. Trying to catch up, praying for you all. I love you all. Love to hear your voices. Thank you, God's Yellow Flower, for coming on and praying, and bye.
Hi, Daily Letter Bible family. This is Nancy calling from Medina, New York. I'll try and make this quick. I've got a lot to say. Thank you for your prayers for our friend Bill Van. He had the triple bypass and a heart valve replacement. He's doing very well. Thanks again for the prayers. My son Travis has a friend whose daughter, she's three now, around three, and she was born with some kind of eye disease. I'm not sure of all the I don't have a lot of information on it, but she, they said that she will probably be blind by the time she's a teenager. And he's having a really hard time with it. So if you can pray for, I don't really want to say the name, but my son Travis's friend and his daughter, he is a single dad. He's divorced and his ex-wife is remarrying. So another friend of ours, his dad had hip replacement surgery, and the surgery went well, but then it sounds like he actually died in the recovery room, and they brought him back. As far as we know, he's okay. They were a little concerned about doing the surgery because he does have heart issues. So if you can pray for Thad's dad, whose name is also Thad, and they are saved. Then I found out yesterday that my Uncle Arden was taken to the hospital. He's in his 80s, and he's in a wheelchair. He has a blood clot on his lung. I'll keep you posted on that, if you can pray for him. And he is not a believer, and neither is his wife. Also, a quick thing. One of my daughters flew down to Virginia because my other daughter that's been down there for 18 years is moving.
Good evening, my DAB family. This is Northeast Knee Bender. On June 9th, as I've been hearing the DAB podcast, I want to bring up a few of our brothers and sisters. I want to bring up Roberta, whose husband is with another woman. They are not saved, and she's praying even for this woman as well as her husband. She brings up before the throne of grace her two children who are not saved also. And she is just in God's will that whatever his plans are for her, that you would strengthen her, Lord. She feels very burdened with everything on her shoulders. But God, you are the one that strengthens us and you walk with us. So I pray for our sister Roberta in the name of your son Jesus. Amen. For our brother Don, who is praying for his wife Barbara, who falls, who has Alzheimer's, he prays for his wife and he needs prayer, oh God. I plead the blood of Jesus for all those, oh God, who are caregivers, who are starting this journey, that you would strengthen them, oh God, and give them what they need as they are doing the best they can to help their loved ones. I give you the grace, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. I love you.
Good morning, Dab family. This is Anointed Mom from Whitby, Ontario, Canada. I'm coming to you this morning because I need your prayer for my godson, Isaac, Father. In heaven, Lord, we just ask that you would be there, that you would be sovereign in this time, Father God. Lord, you have delivered him from 3 brain surgeries, and the last one was successful, and he woke up this morning having a headache, and his mother is driving him to the hospital. Father God, we just pray that you would be sovereign, because your will is perfect. We pray that you would give him another opportunity to be glorified, Father God. And that your healing hands would prevail. We pray that the wisdom of the doctors, nurses, and medical practitioners be your wisdom, and that you would give his parents and all those who love him a sense of confidence and calm and peace. And those of us that are surrounding them, help us to support them, to lift them up, to speak words of encouragement, and to keep Isaac in prayer, Lord, as his his aunt. Father God, I just pray that you would help me to just minister to them and to have wisdom. And not just me, but so many believers that surround them. Father God, just give us the wisdom and give us the discernment and help us to walk in the Spirit, Father God, and to intercede on their behalf. And I pray, Daily Audio Bible family, that you would join us in prayer, because you prayed over him before, 3 times before, and he was delivered each time. So thanking you in advance for your prayers for young Isaac. And I will keep you posted. In Jesus'